If you've been following along and have never joined a design bootcamp, I'm going to encourage you to sign up. It's 5 hours of workshops and we have live versions going on often so you can come and ask questions. Go to www.designsuitecourses.com/designbootcamp. Hey guys, today I am here with Carice Jefferson. She is the owner of Crafty Hands Club, and I'm so excited to talk to her because she believes in creativity, confidence for crafters. She has a very cool membership. Welcome to the podcast and to the YouTube channel, Carice.
Thank you for having me, Karina. Hi, how are you?
I'm doing good. We've just been chatting before we even got started, and I'm just really excited for what she has to talk about today. Those of you who are designers, those of you who are creatives, those of you who are quilters who are here, I am really excited because what she does is so unique. She loves to get into the storytelling of all of these people who are creative. So I would love to start with, would you mind telling us how you kind of got started with this Crafty Hands Club?
Sure. Crafting started for me very early, since childhood. So I take you to first grade. I was a creative kid in a traditional classroom setting, and that didn't go over too well, right? And because of that, I often felt left out, you know, compared to my peers. And I had my first grade teacher believed in me though. You know, she would talk to my mom and she would say, it's definitely there, but we got to channel both so that way she don't feel like she has to give up the creative side to be successful on the academic side. And, you know, my mom would come to the school, but she couldn't come every day because she worked. She would come sit with me just to make sure that, you know, I was adjusting. But honestly, I couldn't. I was so creative and my attention span wasn't where it was. And it was just hard for me to like do the same thing day in, day out, right? But an opportunity happened. Girl Scouts was starting a new troop in the neighborhood. And, you know, back in the day in school, you got these forms to sign up. And I had no idea what Girl Scouts was. Mind you, I was 6 years old. I never heard of it. So my mom signed me up for it right away. And I was like, what is a Girl Scout? You know, and my mom, I don't think she really knew. She just knew like I was going to go. She was like, oh, it's fun. You get to meet people. You're going to, you know, make things, go places. I was like, okay. So I didn't have a choice in the matter. So anyway, the first meetup happened and I loved it. You know, they went over, you know, the handbook, the uniforms, you know, the whole usual. And so as I got more and more into it, this first craft project that I made, because it started in September, and then a couple months passed, it was the holiday season. And I'll never forget, the first thing that I made was like this yellow felt star holiday tree ornament. And there was a red yarn ribbon, and then the points of the stars had glitter, and then there was the white foam, you know, to stuff it. And I took it home and I showed my mother, and my mother, she just had this joy on her face. And she was putting up the Christmas tree at the time, actually, that I had brought this home, and she immediately put it at the top of the tree. And I kid you not, my mother kept that holiday ornament until I was about 18 or 19 years old.
Oh my gosh, I love that so much. Even as you were talking, I was like, oh, you're such a good storyteller, because I had not thought about being in Girl Scouts in years. Like, I haven't thought about it. And you started talking about it, I was like, oh my gosh, I remember when I was in Girl Scouts for a couple of years and how much I loved it and the crafting we did. And just that story about the star, like there's so much nostalgia and the sweetness of that. Yeah. So that's how you started crafting. Like, you found a lot of love in that.
I did. And, you know, even more so, you know, even though seeing the joy look on my mom's face when I made it, and that was like the beginning of many things that I would make and take home. I like the way that I felt, you know, because crafting was a place for me to be myself without being judged, without me feeling like, you know, I wasn't like anybody else. And I learned so much while I was doing these craft projects, you know, it got beyond, at first it was like, okay, to get your badges or your pins, you have to do these craft projects and demonstrate some things with leadership and entrepreneurship. But it started to get past that. The more that I got into them, I learned, you know, some skills, and little did I know these skills was helping me in school. So as a result of crafting, my confidence boost for sure. Public speaking skills, it helped me with that. It helped me demonstrate some leadership, and my academics has significantly improved. So I was able to sit in class and focus and function without needing to, you know, feel like I need to be entertained every minute.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's so crazy. But it doesn't surprise me, right? Because you had a creative outlet.
Yeah. And it just gave me, you know, so much. And then here's what happened. So as I was maybe about a year and a half or 2 years into Girl Scouts, there was an after-school program, arts and crafts, while, you know, it was still budgets and things like that. And it was done 2 days a week. So I was even more happier because I was like, okay, instead of waiting to Saturday, I got Monday and Wednesday that I could do, you know, some arts and crafts. And, you know, that was 3 days a week. And, you know, I was bringing, you know, some things that I had learned in Girl Scouts to the after school program to, you know, incorporate into the projects that I was making, or, you know, I would tell other people about it. So it became a good experience for me. But as the years grew by, I crafted less, but I still had an appreciation for handmade. So I bought a lot of handmade things, and, you know, I would meet people and they used to make things, and we will talk about, you know, different stuff. So I kind of stayed in the loop. And plus, I was around people that made prom dresses, wedding dresses, quilts, crochet. So I was still around it, even though I wasn't doing any crafting. So fast forward to 2012, I had actually saw a company on the TV show that made things out of chainmail. And I was like, ooh, that is so cool, right? I immediately looked up, at this time I was unemployed, so I was a little bit depressed about, you know, being out of work. And I was just looking for a way to kind of take my mind off of my situation. So what I did was went online to see, you know, was there a chainmail class anywhere near me? I'm here in Chicago. Most of the classes were either up north or they were like so far out. And I found one that was literally around the corner, like a couple blocks from where my parents stay. And I said, oh, I didn't know, you know, this. I always thought it was just a clay supply store. I didn't know they did all of these things. So I took that class and I was immediately hooked. I'm like, when I say I was hooked, I started going on YouTube channels, learning different chainmail weaves. Then I started working in with different jump rings. I found that not all jump rings are created equal. And then I came across Blue Buddha that just make like really high quality supplies. And I got to know Rebecca, and, you know, my skill set even grew further then. And then I dabbled into other, you know, forms of jewelry making. Some of it I liked, some of it I did not like, but I still have a love for chainmail as well as metalsmiths and wire work. So those three are my things, but I do other crafts as well. But there was a theme with that, joy. You know, I was like, wow, I just have such this joyful feeling. And it was to a point to where it made me forget that I was unemployed. It did.
Which is huge. And that's something that you do today with your membership, right? Like, you're helping them build confidence and love and joy for what they're doing.
I do. So Crafty Hands, so that is what led up to creating Crafty Hands Club. I wanted people to experience that same joyful feeling. It started off as a subscription box for jewelry making, and then it ended up pivoting to, because high shipping costs and then the whole thing with European Union affected that. And if you don't manufacture your own supplies and things like that with a subscription box, it's just really hard to like get bulk quantities at low cost You know, if you're not a beauty product or, you know, somewhere like that. And then the shipping became more and more expensive to a point where I couldn't pass it off on customers. So I was like, okay, let me pivot to DIY jewelry making kits where you could go from start to finish in 5 steps. And I had some success with that, you know, making sales here and there, not too much. And then I, during the pandemic, I found that I was pregnant. So I was getting orders and I was like, wow, I'm gonna be a first time mom. And I had just turned 40. And I was like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to keep up with, you know, if people, you know, feel, you know, make, place orders, because I, you know, my focus had shifted a little bit, you know, because it was no longer just me and my husband, you know, it was a child to think about. And I didn't know how I was going to adjust to motherhood. So I was like, okay, I want to keep Crafty Hands Club. I want to, you know, still, you know, give people an experience. And I was like, and then I had an epiphany moment. I said, okay, I like jewelry making in my personal time, but I don't like to do this as a business. I had to have an honest conversation with myself. This was 1 month before I was due to give birth. And then I said, okay, what is it that I'm good at? What is it that I like? And how can I make it work? And I said, well, I still love to write. I love crafts. Why not do a magazine? So I did this research, and while I was researching, I found that all craft magazines kind of had the same thing, lots of DIY projects, lots of products. And people were saying that I didn't know where to start. I got the magazines. I never did a project. And I said, well, what about people? What about their stories, right? You know, we all have a story. A lot of the stories is stories behind quilts. It's stories behind other things that, you know, people make. You know, it could be maybe they lost a loved one and they're utilizing the favorite color as a way to walk around with the, you know, memory of them. And I said, those stories need to be pushed out, need to be told. And so that's how the magazine idea came, to give other people a chance to tell their stories.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I love it so much. And I, have you heard from people about how they feel when they are reading the things that you are writing about?
I have. I have one lady, she's an avid scrapbooker and she has a craft retreat. And she was like, I didn't even know that this was needed until I read the magazine. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is really something that's been missing. And then I've heard, you know, from other people like, wow, thank you so much for, you know, letting me tell my story. I never thought that I would even be in a magazine, because most publications kind of go after people that have large followings, or, well, not all, but most, they either go after large followings or it's kind of cliquish a little bit. Like if they don't know you, they don't, you know, reach out and ask you. But I wanted to give everybody a chance, whether you just have 50 people on your social media or you have 50,000.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I love that so much, because I mean, I talk all the time about how social media really doesn't tell the real story about, first of all, people, but second of all, about how much money you make or anything. And yet we use it as a way to monetize, or at least magazines and other outlets use it as a way to monetize. I love that you are getting in and getting a realistic picture of people's stories and mm-hmm. how they really got into crafting. Now, you said quilters, and it sounds like, oh my gosh, I had no idea about the chainmail thing with you. That is so cool. So like, it sounds like you have scrapbookers. What are some other areas that you guys cover in your magazine?
I try to cover, you know, people from like a very diverse, I have people that practice more than one craft. I have knitters. There have been stories on people who crochet, people who make jewelry, people who do quilting, people who sew, people who do miniatures, you know, you name it. But aside from like the craft type, what is more inspiring is the walks of life that the crafters have came. I've done stories on people who talked about how crafts help them overcome their fear of flying, how it helped them, you know, through ADHD, how it helped them through postpartum depression, grieving the loss of a baby, getting through a job loss, which was something that I could relate to because that's how I came across J-Mail. Also, some people lost their jobs during the pandemic and they started a business. I have one that does like custom bridal accessories. And she was a math teacher and she had lost her job during the pandemic. And she decided to pick up a Cricut machine that her husband had bought her, and it turned into a side business. And she's doing well. And, you know, her unique approach, she likes to target the brides that are looking for, you know, something unique and a little less traditional. So those are the story. And then there's more stories. Some stories have been told of like multi-generational crafters where they're like the third or fourth generation. And that is so cool because the skills were just passed down. And, you know, these different stories that were told. One lady, her great-great-grandmother, I think, did quilting. And then a grandmother, and then her mother. But they all did different things. But she told the story about how her grandmother, you know, taught her, you know, to always practice going over, like, the basics of the quilting, and will tell the story of migration and so forth. So, you know, she just talked about it was just beyond, you know, making something. It was getting a chance to learn her family history and to spend that time with her grandmother and her great grandmother. Like, can you imagine that in a room, like three or four generations in one room?
Yeah, I was just listening to it and all I can hear is relationships. And I love that. Those relationships and then family history. So magical. So magical. Well, I would love to dig into a little bit about your magazine itself. How often do you guys publish it? Is it available online? Where can people find it?
Sure. Crafty Hands Club is a quarterly magazine and it's a digital issue. In April, there's going to be a webinar where I'm actually going to be teaching, because I've gotten requests from people that would like to, you know, craft their stories and learn how to better tell their stories. And so I'm going to be hosting a webinar doing that. And that will give, you know, people a chance to, you know, explore and, you know, learn and be confident in their storytelling and then have access to the magazine. But if you go to www.craftyhandsclub.com, you'll find out, you know, more about it. There's a single issue available for there. And the first issue for 2023 is going to be coming out in April. So
amazing.
It's a quarterly issue. Also on social media, always post on Instagram and Facebook. I'm still working on wrapping up my YouTube channel, revamping it to, you know, make it more documentary, but very active on Instagram and on Facebook. And then there's a group on Facebook, CHC Monthly Craft Challenge group. It's a free group. And you go the crafters, you know, there's like a monthly project that we make. So this month we're doing DIY body products. And the purpose of it is to try different things outside of the crafts that you usually do. And there's engagement, anywhere from questions or, you know, just have conversations. From time to time, I go live in the group. I don't do it often, but I do go on there, you know, from time to time and just learn from the people that are in the group.
Yeah. Amazing. That's so good. Will you give us your handle on Instagram? Is it just Crafty Hands Club?
It is Crafty Hands Club Mag. So,
M-A-G.
Yes. M-A-G. Crafty Hands Club Mag. And then on Facebook, it is, Crafty Hands Club, and I'll also provide the links so that you can share with your audience.
Perfect. Yeah, we'll put those, you guys, into the show notes for you guys. So if you're interested in checking out the quarterly magazine or the free Facebook group, which sounds like they do some amazing work there. And it kind of sounds like you have a little bit for everyone, which is quite lovely. Mm-hmm. You kind of have an all-encompassing group, which is difficult actually in some ways, because you're like, oh, how do I appease the sewers? How do I appease the scrapbookers? How do I appease the, you know, people who are making apparel? But it sounds like it kind of works. Tell me about that.
The vision behind Crafty Hands Club was to be inclusive. I knew what it was like to be socially excluded because I was overweight, and as an African-American female, I wasn't, you know, small. I wasn't light. I didn't have the long, good hair, as they say. So I didn't want to create something that would exclude people. Because one of the things about most of the craft magazines, if you do multiple crafts, you have to get like 3 or 4 magazines because it's not inclusive. And that could be a lot of pile up if you get in these print issues. And even with the digital issues, just think about how much you have to keep up in a world that comes with so many demands. So I wanted to, you know, make it inclusive, and I try to highlight different people, whether they do paper crafts or they do quilt, they do even some of the less popular ones too, because that was another thing I was saying, like, people would get featured, you know, if they were, you know, knitters or crochets, but not everybody does that. And I think one of the things also that's going on, that has gone on in the craft community, is that a lot of people will just try something, and it's really not for them. You know, like, I can remember when I was doing beading. I like beading, but it's just not my type of jewelry making that I like. So when I got to the Metalsmith, I was like a kid in the candy store because I was a math and science junkie growing up. And that's, Metalsmith is all that. So I was like, okay, the bench is where it is. And chainmail, you know, I like that. And, you know, working with the wire. So it's about finding was for you and be confident in it. Don't just say, I just make tumblers. No, you have a skill set and people are willing to pay you for it because they don't know how to do it.
Yeah, 100%. And what I really like is that you give people a way to explore all the different things that they do, could do possibly, right? And so I think that when you're not exposed to things, you don't realize, oh, maybe I could do this thing. And it sounds like you really do expose a lot of new types of things so that people can explore.
I do. And I try to give, you know, tips. I also, you know, try to, you know, give positive messages, you know, like a lot of people like crafts, but they don't have the time, right? So there was one post in the group and I said, okay, block it off, you know, go through your calendar and say, okay, this day I am going to make something and carve out 1 hour, 2 hours, or 3 hours if you can. And then as a reminder, set an alert on your phone so it could go off and let you know that this is your personal time.
Yeah. Amazing. Oh, I love that so much. You guys, I'm going to put all of these things in the show notes so you can go check out the magazine, go check out her new storytelling, because that is one of the things they're really good at in this magazine, which is fantastic. I love the inclusivity. And I also love that you're trying to grab women. I'm assuming all women. Maybe do you do men as well?
But I do. I've had a couple of guys.
When she says inclusive, she says everybody. You can craft and be a guy. So that's awesome. So just the inclusivity of all of those things. I really, really like the messaging around that. Thank you so much for being on today. This has been so lovely.
You're welcome. And thank you for having me. And you're inspiring as well. So I look forward to the things that you will be doing, not just this year, but in the future. And I love what you're doing for your community.
It is so great, the kinds of people who come in and build these communities for exactly what people need, right? Like just that storytelling, that crafting, and that being creative for your community versus even in my communities, more people who are trying to make a career out of design. And that those two things are not mutually exclusive, that they're both really wonderful, beautiful things that we're trying to create.
Yes.
So good. All right, guys. Thanks so much. Check out our show notes to find out more about Crafty Hands Club, and I will see you guys soon. Hey, did you know that you can visit me at makeanddesign.com to learn more about this podcast and join my VIP group for weekly freebies? I can't wait to see you there.